The truth is, your time here is limited. Without hyper-consciousness and consistent self-awareness, you will miss every opportunity to invest it wisely. There's never been a more important time than to focus on that which matters while actively and unapologetically ridding yourself from that which just doesn't.
Your why power is the key designing your success or your circumstance. It will center you, ground you, and fuel you to accomplish even your wildest dreams. So don't waste another minute. Ask yourself that one crucial question. Why?
Hey everyone, this is Amelia Smith.
And this is Bianca Thomas.
And we're your hosts of the Why Power podcast. We are so honored to have you listening to us today. We have a very special episode today and it's a guest episode. So we have an amazing guest. Bianca, can you tell us a little bit about your biggest takeaway from this episode so that the listeners can have a little bit of a why power behind why they should listen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think first and foremost, the first thing to say is that this guest is an absolute badass powerhouse. Amelia and I resonated so highly with her, not only on the emotional level, but on the mental level as well. And we really think that you guys are going to get so much insight from this episode. One of the biggest takeaways that I got was really just choosing yourself and being really cognizant of yourself, your beliefs, your needs, and prioritizing those above everybody else in order to be successful and in order to live, you know, the life that's truest to yourself.
So important. The biggest thing that I took away from this episode, I left this episode, I don't know about you, but with a sense of like, I felt light after this episode, like physically light. And honestly, it was because after the conversation with this guest, I was like, I feel so much better about some of the choices that I made for me that in so many other people's eyes would have made me seem like such an a-hole. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with boundaries. A lot of that has to do with the mindset that we've been talking about in past episodes. And a lot of that has to do, like you mentioned, with beliefs and choices. And so I walked away from this episode with a lot of confidence to go out into my world and not feel bad about my choices.
Right.
And that's something that I feel like a lot of people do if they actually start to fight for themselves and choose themselves over everyone else that is pulling for their attention, vying for their attention and everything like that. So I really appreciated this episode and this guest particularly because she made me feel free to make my own choices for me and me only, and to not feel bad about that, which was the most empowering feeling.
Oh yeah. It was definitely a heavy conversation, but we felt so much lighter after. You know, we laughed in this episode. We cried in this episode together. True. We went through a roller coaster of emotions, but we gained so much from it, and we know you guys will too.
And a huge thank you to our guests. We know you will love this person in this conversation. So without further ado, let's jump into this episode.
Bye.
Today, we have an extraordinary guest coming to you guys. I heard her on the Hyperconscious podcast, and as soon as I heard that episode, I knew I needed to have her on this show. I was hyping you so much to Amelia. It is not even funny. I was so eager to get you on here. This person is a former professional golfer. She is a three-time reality TV competitor, a confidence and mindset coach, a motivational speaker, and she's the founder of Women with Class Mastermind, as well as Decide It's Your Turn Women's Weekend. We have Christina LeCure.
You guys, I'm so stoked to be here, and I love your persistency because I was hard in the beginning. Normally, I'm so easy. I'm like, yeah, send me a link. But then I'm like, but I also have killer boundaries, and I'm like, nah, that's not going to work for me. So I'm so glad that you followed back up, and then this time worked out fabulously. So thank you.
Thank you so much. We're so grateful to have you here. I wanted to mention right away, I was looking at your website, and one of the things that popped out to me were the topics that you're very eager to talk about. Some of them were golf, confidence, goal setting, mindset, and positive self-talk. And the one that Amelia and I really resonated with was women who want to excel in male-dominated industries. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, yes, we need to talk about this. So we're so eager. I think what would be really helpful is if you maybe gave a little bit of your backstory and tell our listeners about yourself.
Cool. Absolutely. Well, again, I'm super honored. I think this is amazing what you guys are doing. I know this podcast is going to totally take off because I totally see how you're so passionate about the why, which for me, I think is like the number one reasons why I do what I do.
Yes.
Is like, if someone doesn't know their why, it's really like a bit of a loss, because I truly help people like step into their purpose. And I always say, like, step in your purpose, lead an abundant life, leave a profitable life, and all of the things. But yeah, so quick backstory on me, like a 2-second spiel basically, is I'm originally from Canada. I now live in Arkansas. I am a former professional golfer. I started playing golf really late in life at 18. So two things happened to me at 18 that most of your audience would probably be like, oh my God, that's amazing. But we'll get into like why it wasn't so amazing for me. But when I was 18, two things happened. One, I got really good at golf really fast. And two, I got really good looking. And so, like, I know that's kind of funny, but honestly, it's kind of a bit of a laugh, but it's true. I got really good looking and I got really good golf at 18. And before that, my life was like pretty normal, you know, great family, all the things. But what happened when I got those two things when I was 18, I immediately got tons of external validation, a ton of, you're so pretty, you're so smart, you're so attractive, you're so successful. This is going to be like, your life is going to be set forever because you're so good at golf. Like, all the things, right? And so for the next 10 years, basically from 18 to 28, yeah, my life looked great on the outside. I went to college scholarship, full ride. I was an All-American. I had television shows. I played golf professionally. I was making tons of money at points in time. I was super skinny. What people didn't realize, though, is that I hated myself and I hated my life. And I was living for the external validation. Because the minute I caught that bug of, oh my God, you're so great. You're so attractive. You're so smart. You're so good. I was like, okay, so if I lose another pound, maybe I'll be better. Or if I win that golf tournament, maybe I'll be better. Or if I get the next contract or get the next dollar and all the things. I was caught on the absolute train wreck of external validation. And at 28 years old was kind of like my rock bottom moment. I had literally like made myself throw up probably 50 times that day. I was ironing in my back bedroom and I was like, how the hell did I get here? How the hell does everyone think my life is so fabulous and I'm dying on the inside? I didn't know if I even wanted to live at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So that was really honestly where I was for like about a 10-year period. I'm not saying I didn't have a lot of good days in between there. It wasn't complete misery every day by any means, but I kept up the show because I felt like if I got that next thing, I'd be happy. If I got that next thing, I'd be happy. And I got all the things and I was never happy. And so it really was this rock bottom moment for me that I decided, okay, there's people in this world that have way less than I do and are way happier than me. What the hell is going on? And that's really when I dove into self-development. I started reading books and listening to podcasts and going to events and hiring coaches and getting into masterminds. And now fast forward from that 10 years, so I'm almost 38 now, fast forward to this last 10 years, I've been like literally immersed in like the cult of self-development, which I like to call it. I'm like, it's the best cult you'll ever join. Come join me. But I have just been obsessed with self-development, the growth mindset, all of the things. And I am so passionate about what I get to do on a daily now, because I know for 100% fact, my life is not perfect. I still have bad days. I have days where I literally want to shut my laptop, throw it in the computer and run away from my life. I am not, I don't always look in the mirror and think, wow, this is amazing. And I am like heavier now than I've probably ever been. And I have all the things, but I will tell you, I am probably one of the happiest people you'll ever meet because I choose it. And I do the things on a daily that keep my life as like the best life ever, because that's the life that I'm telling myself I want to have. And no matter what happens, I have trained myself basically. And that's what I help others do as well, is to fully live into their purpose and live a life that they absolutely love and know that they're worthy of it no matter what.
Wow, that was amazing.
Thanks.
That was amazing. Something that I love that you said, and I think it's not something enough like famous people or like well-known people in the media talk about is like, yeah, we have bad days too. Like, not everything is sunshine and rainbows. It's not always perfect. And your ability to just speak on that and be like, no, like, I want to throw my laptop out the window some days. Like, I think it's so important to hear, especially with people who are trying to transition into that growth mindset, because it's like, no, I have to always be growing. I have to always be up, perfect. And it's like, that's not reality. Nobody is actually like that.
Oh my God. Like, literally yesterday was a perfect example. I, like, quote unquote, had a great day. My husband, is a developer. And so he has a development here in South Carolina. So we live in Arkansas. Yesterday we flew to South Carolina, and you'd think like the day was great. Like, I mean, I have a great life, flew over to South Carolina. It's all good. I get in the car and I'm like, I know you both are into fitness. Like, I'm like the grouchiest human ever. If I don't eat, like, my blood sugar drops.
I call that fungry.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, cranky, hungry, or whatever they call it. Yeah. All the things. Right. And hangry. That's what my husband calls me. He's like, girl, you're hangry. And I was like such a bitch for like an hour and I couldn't get out of it. And at dinner, I wanted to like yell at him and pick a fight. Cause that's like my old patterns, right? Mm. Like, when I don't feel good about myself, I want to fight with someone. Those are the patterns that I grew up with. Right. Mm. Like, we are all trained in our lives. We all grow up in a certain way and we have a choice whether, and there's nothing against my family. Like, my parents are wounded humans. We're all wounded, and hopefully you're going to wound your children if you have them, but hopefully every generation we can get better and notice what we're doing. But you know, those were the patterns that were carried from my childhood. And I have a tendency, like, that's my main thing is like, I'm pissed off and I'm going to like try to pick a fight. Well, you know, he was on his phone last night at dinner and I literally sat in the chair and I'm like, okay, you can either pick a fight with him right now, or I started listening all the things in my head that I love about him. And like, literally by the time that my burrito came, I didn't want to hit him. Like, literally, it's that simple. But old school Christina, 10 years ago, Christina would have literally picked a fight and today would have been a complete wash, you know, and, or whatever it is in business, you know. Obviously I have a very successful online business. The first few years in my online business, I lost a shit ton of money, and right. It's hard. And you have to do the things that most people aren't willing to do. My life is definitely, I have a brother who's an addict. I have, you know, things that happen every single day, things, you know, backfire every single day. You cannot expect life to be perfect. And if you do, and even in this mindset, my job is to not have a perfect life. My job is just to navigate it to where I choose to show up as the best version of myself.
I love that. That's literally what we do. And that's like, mindset is freaking everything. We're like, so jazzed up about that, because what you are like kind of circling around in such a beautiful way is literally that choice. And Christina, like, so many people aren't conscious, and we're aware of this, and I'm sure you come across this like through all of your journeys, is like the choice. No one is aware of like, that's our choice. Like, somewhere deep down, like inside, no one's actually given us that like crown that we get to put on and say like, yeah, we want to wear this today, or no, we don't. And like, when you were growing up, was that something that was instilled within you? Because there's a lot of our listeners that are still working through, as is everyone, their scars, their wounds and everything. And we're constantly getting layered by beliefs, whether it's our parents or other people in our environment. But like, did you grow up with the power of choice being at the forefront, and that's how your mindset kind of shaped? Or was it like you got so far down and realizing that like, you've kind of been running on autopilot this whole time, not choosing?
Oh my God. Like 100% the second one. I did not grow up like this at all. Like, yeah. I love my parents to death, but my parents do not even come close to thinking the way that I think, not even in vicinity. However, I will say, in the last few years of me making such big changes, that's what I tell people all the time. You can't force anyone to do anything, but the number one most powerful way that you can is you can show up as the best version of yourself. You know, I have crazy good boundaries. I like, literally, if a negative conversation is about to happen, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have that conversation. Like, I don't let people in my circle. I would literally rather like lock myself in a dark room than go for wine with people who hate their lives and gossip.
I literally love that. Yes. Literally, we need more people in the world like that.
Oh my God. Like, hard boundaries. Like, I have zero tolerance. And when I say zero, like, perfect example. You girls, originally when you sent me a link to book this call, it was like 8 or 9 o'clock my time and or whatever it was. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. I don't work past that time. Like I have boundaries because I know I wake up at 4:30 a.m. I have clients all day. And so I'm not going to be the best version that I need to be for my clients. So I have to have a boundary. And that's the same with family and relationships and friends and like spouses, all of the things. If you don't have boundaries, boundaries is the number one thing that you'll probably need. And then also too, like absolutely every single thing is a choice.
Mm.
100%. I love that.
Mm. I love the fact like we just spoke about boundaries and how freaking important they are in order to actually like have any degree of your own life. Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Just plugging that in.
No worries. No, but seriously, like how boundaries are the most important thing. And I try explaining that to people and like, it's so hard to get through on that. What is like, curious what your experience has been with coaching? Like it's easier said than done, right? But people acting on that, that is so challenging. The most challenging that's for me, like be for you. I know we've talked about that and saying no.
Oh yeah.
That's the hardest thing. Yeah, no, Christina, what's your experience with that?
Well, you know, I actually learned this from Jesse Itzler. I don't know if you guys know who Jesse Itzler is. His wife is Sarah Blakely. Mm-hmm. But I remember when he was talking about one time early in his career, he was talking about how in the beginning when he came from nothing and he was in a situation where he was trying to get like every opportunity possible, he always said yes to everything. He's like, mm-hmm. I'd said yes to a 6 a.m. meeting. I said yes to a midnight game. I said yes to this. I said yes to that. The longer you go on, the more you'll realize, and I'm sure I'm a little bit older than you guys, but the longer I live, the more I realize the most valuable asset on the planet is time. Time, time, time. It's the number one most valuable asset. I love that. And money buys time. You know, a lot of people say money and love. Well, money and love buy time a lot of the time as well.
Okay.
But I will say that I think that like, for me, just saying no to the things that aren't in a lot, I've gotten to the point and keep in mind, I've been, you know, I was in the golf industry for like 10 years. I've been in the coaching industry over 4 years. In the beginning, I may not have had the power that I have now to be like, no, I'm sorry. I just don't work at those times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also think too, like really knowing, going back to the topic of your podcast, I think it's beautiful, is your why. Like, why do you not want to spend time with those people? Why do you want to spend time with one person over the other? Why do you say yes to something and no to the other? You know, when I was in the golf industry, there was so many times where I could have really not listened to that small, still voice. My faith is really important to me. It hasn't been my whole entire life. I really only came into my faith when I basically hit my rock bottom. And I was kind of curious that there needed to be something outside of myself. But I think that like, for me, I have to trust that small still voice. Like, why is this so important to me? Like, what do I need to do? And what is this going to lead to the next thing? So if you don't have good boundaries and you aren't making good choices and you aren't, you know, truthfully putting barriers around your best life, you're just going to be susceptible to like any life.
Right. Just like drifting in the tide. Yeah, like this is nice. Oh crap. It's not like, I love that. I'm eating up. Sorry. Go ahead, B.
No, you're fine. So when I was listening to the episode with the boys, something that you said that really stuck out to me and Amelia was that you made a comment saying I had to say no to a million different people so I could say yes to my husband. And I was like, I remember that so vividly because in the past, like I was definitely someone who struggled saying no, like people pleaser, like Oprah talks about it all the time, like the disease to please, you can't say no to anything because you don't know how to.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you said digging into your why and getting really clear on that, but you know, what would you say to the people out there who maybe are still just beginning their personal development journey or are that 18-year-old version of where you were who, you know, they've never been able to speak their voice? You know, what would you say to them in order to be able to help them learn how to start saying no or to even set boundaries?
Yeah.
That's such a good question. You know, like I think that boundaries are probably the hardest with people you love, right?
True.
Like you guys probably feel that, like,
yeah,
like people that you love And, you know, it's easy to kind of blow off somebody you don't really care about, or it's easy to be like, yeah, no, I'm good, because you don't have any feelings attached right. to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like a work commitment, that's something you have to do, or it's family where there's that like strong emotional tie, boundaries can probably be the hardest. But one of the things that I always come back to is I know what it takes to be my best version. And I know what happens when I allow things into my space, whether that's, you know, an argument with my mom, or whether that's going to hang out with the wrong crowd, or whether that's, you know, not working out, or whether that's, you know, going for drinks with people and, you know, getting drunk and hungover, or gossiping about the neighborhood, or all those kind of things that are just, I know that when I wake up tomorrow, I'm not going to be the best version of myself. I know when I go down that slippery slope with, you know, perhaps a family member, that I know that will lead to negative conversations, negative mindset, then I know I'm probably going to get off that conversation and start a fight with my husband, or not be the best version of myself for my clients. And I know what matters to me most. The number one thing that matters to me most is my faith, then my husband, then my clients. Like, it goes in that order. Well, my family's in there too, but like, it goes in that order.
Love
that. That's so sad. I'm like, oh, faith.
It's all right. Tell them how it is.
Whatever.
But I love my clients too. And I know that, like, if I, let's say I have an argument with someone where I know it's not going to go well, and then 2 hours later or an hour later, I have to hop on a call with a client. Well, people pay me a lot of money to help them be in their best version, so I better be in my best version. And it's very selfish of me not to. Again, it goes back to time. It's the most valuable asset on the planet. Do you want to be in a position as much as you can, creating amazing boundaries to where you show up as your best version? Does that mean, you know, I know you're both really into fitness. Does that mean that you brush off the gym and go drink? Does that mean that you stay up late so you miss a workout? You know what it takes to be the athletes that you are, and that's just a non-negotiable.
We love that. We have three lists for real estate, for relationship standards. The non-negotiables, what you're not willing to give, like the negotiables, what's like, okay, this is on the fence. I'm willing, maybe depending if you can convince me good enough. And then the like, okay, absolutely. Like let's go with that. And that's exactly that. Like, which lane are you willing to pick for those things? Time. Christina, like, time is the most important thing. B and I like talk about that all the time. And I struggle sometimes with this, with respects to like, how do you prioritize your time and protect that from all those people who just want all your time? Cause like, you know, we want your time today, right? Yeah. So how are you, you're constantly protecting your time, and what's so important to do that is almost the prioritization. Like, we call it time management, but there's also a degree of that. Like, prior to even having time management, you need to have, to a degree, priority management. And so then you're able to kind of shape your day around what is absolutely necessary for you to have that mindset to show up as your best self, to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to coach your clients. So like, can you bring us through what a morning routine would look like for you? Because sometimes it doesn't just start in the morning. Sometimes it's the bedtime and going forward. Like, bring us through that.
Oh my God, I love that. Such a good question. And I love that. I do want to preface it as, because I know a lot of people, like even my clients are like, okay, exactly. Like, tell me exactly verbatim what you do.
Right.
And that's just, it's not like the way it's going to work. Like,
not adaptable.
It just doesn't work. Right. Like, I have a client, perfect example. She's one of my like favorite clients, and she is not a morning person. Like, if she starts at 8 o'clock, we are talking like, that's like 4 to me. Like, right. Like, she's in the music industry, so she goes to bed at like 2 a.m. I'm like, dear God, I click closer to waking up at 2 than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a grandma, like 9 o'clock.
Oh my God. Like, a perfect day in the whole world would be like bed by 8.
Yep.
Sleep by 9.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. I'm so, my husband every once in a while, he'd be like, we are such losers. I was like, whoa, speak
whoa.
For yourself? That sounds amazing to me.
Me and my bed are my best friend. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. I'm like, you can say you're a loser. I think this is magical. But I'm like a little child. Like, I
love it.
I love to go to bed early.
Bedtime's the best.
Oh yeah, it's all the things. I love it. I'm like, oh yes, I can't go to bed.
I like jump into bed like a kid still. I'm like,
yeah. And it's like I'm even wearing pajama, like, but it's not pajamas. Okay, my morning routine. Okay, so I get up anywhere, like if I can't sleep, which I'm usually, I fall asleep really fast, but I kind of get up super early, but anywhere between 4 and 5 o'clock. I know that sounds asinine. When my husband and I first met like 17 years ago, I probably would have punched him in the face if there wasn't a 7 as the first number on the clock. Like I remember saying that to him. I was like, okay, so if there's not a 7 as the first number, don't touch me. And now I'm like, 4 o'clock. I've like accomplished 9 things by 7. Okay, so my morning routine is very, very, very particular. Between 4 and like 6 o'clock kind of thing, whenever I'm kind of up and going, I do 3 morning routine books. So one is like a 5-minute journal. It's very much like a gratitude journal. I personally believe that it's like one of the best ones out there. It's called 5-minute journal. I do a Q&A a day book. I've been actually doing my personal Q&A a day, and I'm happy to give you and your audience the links. I mean, I don't make commission or anything, but I probably should have recommended them.
So I was just going to say, we should set that up.
I know, we totally should. But it's called Q&A a day. Actually, since this is video, I had it right here.
Go grab it.
Actually, these are videos. Awesome. I even travel with them.
Hell like, yeah. Oh, they're so chunky. I love them. They're and the so golden cool, right? Like pages and everything.
So this is Q&A a day. It's one question you answer every single day. And this book is for 5 years. This is my second book. So I've been keeping up these questions for that many years. Wow. And then the other one is Q&A a day couples. So my husband and I go back and forth, and we've been doing it every single day of our marriage. So we've never missed a day.
That's awesome.
Super cool. This is like our third book. Cause this is 2020. So this is our third book for this one, but it's like random. Like some of them are like, okay, I feel vulnerable when, and then the other one's like, you know, something random, what would taste amazing today? But it's funny because some of the questions are like so fun. And it's actually very interesting because, you know, my husband and I have been together for such a long time that it's funny. Some of the questions change so dramatically each year. And then some of them I'm like, wow, we are the exact same person. Like nothing's changed, right? Like we actually know like what the reply will be. Yeah. But so I do that. I do my 5-minute journal and then I have coffee. I do my prayer. I do like gratitude before my feet hit the ground, have a couple cups of coffee, answer some emails. I am very good at most of my business is held on Instagram. So my morning routine on Instagram does not change. I post a devotional every single morning. I post something like motivational or funny, and then a couple of things that are happening through the day. I personally, one of the things that people ask me all the time is what's one of the keys to your success? And it's the boring answer. It's just really consistent. Like I am going to show up consistently every single time. My bubble on the Instagram story bubble has never one day gone dark in 4 years. And so
That's impressive.
And like it's impressive, yet it doesn't take anything. You know what I mean? It's like so hard, yet so easy. And I think that that's one of the keys to my success is that I'm just willing to be like consistent as shit. And I'm never going to give up. And I think that people love to know that they can trust you. You know, you're a safe space. My clients know that they will be able to find me every day. My clients know that I show up, you know, hair in a bun, hot mess, crying, laughing, showing them the fun things that like the simple things. And then I'm also the person that they go to for, you know, the purpose, the business, the confidence, all those things. So that's very much my morning routine. Then I work out, and then my clients usually start every day around 9 o'clock. I usually do like 9 to 3 clients. And then 2 days a week, I work up until like 7. And then every second weekend, I take client calls on Saturdays, but normally I take off Sundays. I'm very good with my evening time. That is my time to go for a walk or just hang out. I kind of create a life that I love, and I create my business around that.
I love that. So inspirational. So many people I feel like are very afraid to create a life around what they love because they're not going to be successful in that. You have to have experience coaching people, like encouraging and inspiring them to be like, what is it? Hashtag worthy AF that we saw on your website.
I love that.
Yeah. That like, started a few years ago because, again, like going back to the story in the beginning, I believed my worth came from what I did, how mm-hmm. I looked and how much money I was making. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I flipped it and I was like, I'm worthy as fuck. End of story. I could be talking to you. I could be playing golf. I could be coaching. I could be sitting on my ass watching television. Your worth does not change based upon what you're doing. We live in a society where doing and instead of being is mm-hmm. what we do. And when we be, that's why my social media handle is Be Christina. Mm. Be Christina. Because you've got to be your most authentic self.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. I love that. I love that. I think it's so incredible too, because you, like, even like you just said, like, you're so consistent with everything that you do. But I think the reason why, at least from my perspective, you know, you said it's so hard, but it's so easy. And I think the reason it's probably so easy is because you do genuinely just show up as yourself. You're not putting up a front. You're not changing your persona because, oh, it's time to record. Let me change what I act like. It's like, no, I knew whether the camera's there or not, and my worth is never going to go away. Mm. Is that something that, or is that a pattern that you notice with a lot of the people who come to you? Like people who want coaching or in the seminars that you do or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So many people are, I have a lot of people that come to me because they don't believe they were worthy. They're lacking in the confidence. They're not sure of their purpose. A lot mm-hmm. of women, you know, when they get to I work with either women who are like that 25 to 30 age or that like 40 to 50 age, because in the beginning, that 20 to 30 age, you're lost, you're not sure, but you're kind of like curious if there's something more.
Figuring it out, kind of.
Yes, right? You're totally figuring it out. You're like, there's something more. What am I missing? There's got to be more than this. And then the later life people that come to me, like the 40s, 50s, they have been leading a life that is so far out of alignment because they thought they should be doing it. I played the should would game for a very, very, very long time.
And it's a killer.
It's killer. And it's horrible. And I have these people come to me because they're like, I did everything I should have done. Yeah. And look where it got you. But guess what? Like, I don't care if you're 80 years old, you can still have time to choose. And it's just a matter of, you know, making them feel worthy, making them feel confident, holding them accountable. And I truly believe that. And that's why I say I help you live your purpose and make a profit, because I truly believe if you are in alignment with your purpose, the world is so, so, so abundant, but you have to be in alignment with your purpose.
So true. It's so true. Literally, like we say, like, like everyone has a purpose, right? Everyone has a purpose. And so often people are trying to find it. Like, it's out there in the world and we're just going to find it in the external world. Like, we often say, like, it's inside here. Like, we uncover that. Like, could you give some of the listeners maybe like one way maybe that they could start helping to uncover that, maybe something that you use in your practice or something that Absolutely. You've done yourself to uncover it? Because it really is like a delayering, getting in here. Oh, like a hardest
100%.
Thing too.
100%. It's actually quite simple. So three things I always tell people is, what would you do for free all day, every day, if you could? If you had an unlimited pile of cash, you had all the time in the world, what would you do? I would do this. Where do you see an injustice in the world?
Ooh.
Like, what do you want to fix? I want to fix every single person who doesn't feel worthy and confident.
Mm.
And then what spikes your voice with excitement? Like, what gets your veins popping the way my veins pop when I get to talk to you guys about this? Oh, you go back to those three things, and I guarantee you somewhere in that line, you will find what you are made to do on this planet. I think so many people avoid those things because they're like, oh, I don't know how to make a profit doing it. I don't know if it's a job. It's like, a lot of the times it doesn't matter in the beginning. We'll figure that out. But the number one thing is, people stop themselves because they actually know the purpose. They actually know what's up, but they don't know how it's going to work out. So they choose not to do it.
That's the thing. Like, we talk about how to's, and we've realized, like, people are so excited when we do throw out those how to's. Cause it's like, sure, like, I would love to figure out how to, but ultimately what happens is, like, you can do how to's and figure that out all you want, but unless you actually know the why power behind it, you're going to be screwed. Totally screwed. So, like, you have to, oh my gosh, uncovering that for people all the time, that's got to be so challenging in itself. Like, having gone from being a pro athlete to like now like helping people realize like what's right in front of them. You probably just having conversations like they get all psyched up talking about their cats or something like, you know, and then it's like,
I love it.
Your veins are popping. You're talking about cats.
I know. And I'm like, there's got to be something there. Even though I think that's like super crazy, cat lady, but I can help you.
Oh, that's so awesome. I love it.
What would you say to those people out there who like, they know what their why power is. Their limiting fear is, I can't make money off of this. Mm. What are people going to say that I want to pursue a dream doing something like this? Instead of following the status quo.
I love that. Okay, so very like vulnerable, authentic. The very first year that I transitioned, I was still doing the golf thing because I get it. Everyone's got to pay their bills. Like I am not, you know, I remember Mel Robbins said one time, and I love Mel Robbins. She said one time, if you have 90 days of money, quit your job and do the other thing. And I was like, whoa, I'm not Mel Robbins. I'm not telling you that. That seems like a lot. But there is power in that. But I will say, I truly do believe that sometimes you have to be willing to like do the main thing and do the side hustle. But there comes a time where that Mel Robbins theory comes in, where you actually have to like cut the umbilical cord and put your back on against the wall. For you know, sure. So many people come to me all the time and they're like, I just don't know if I can afford this coaching. And I'm like, listen, 99% of people just don't have a big pile of money over here, like just waiting to spend it. Mm. But I will tell you, the minute you make that investment, your back goes against the wall. You tell the universe that you're dead serious. I was willing to do the hard things that most people are not. And I tell clients all the time, anyone who signs up with me, anyone who comes to my events or attends my masterminds and all the things, I was like, you're a 1%. Like you're scared. Of course you're scared. You should be. If that $3,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 or whatever you choose to invest, if that doesn't scare you, you're probably not going to like, you know, put your skin in the game. There's a reason why I invest in coaches and masterminds and all the things. I want to do hard, scary things because I also know that I want to succeed because there's so much goodness that comes on the other side of doing something hard. Oh, it's so magic when you actually do that. That people avoid doing hard things all the time. The hard things is what life's about.
Hell yeah. Oh man. Hype it up. This is what happens behind the scenes, guys. But also on stage. That's so awesome. I literally like hyping it up is so important. And like you are doing that for yourself, like constantly every day. Like how do you refill your cup? How do you keep things going so that you have this mindset that's like totally recharged? I know like you like going to bed super early, like love that. But like, you know, what is it that,
what do I do?
Yeah.
I truly like tell myself how grateful I am for my day. I consistently tell myself how lucky and blessed I am. Like when, like we started this podcast, I told you, I was like, I have one of the best lives ever, you know,
yeah,
like
I love that.
Do I actually truthfully have one of the best lives ever? Probably not, but like I tell myself if I can do, like, you know what I mean? Like I show up as I do. I'm grateful for everything I get. Mm. I'm grateful for everything I have, every opportunity, every person, all of the abundance. I love to travel. Like I travel, like to me, that's like one of the funnest things ever. Even my husband and I were just working in South Carolina this week. It's just a different environment.
I love
this
that.
My house.
Yeah.
And to me, like it's just fun to do something different. Go for a walk. I walk every day. That was thing I did. We came home from we travel every year at Christmas and internationally. Well, fingers crossed this year, but fingers crossed. But we came home from Singapore and Thailand, and I sit at a computer all day coaching people. And
right.
I was like, oh, this is not going to work out well, because after giving, like it's 6:30 at night and I'm still on fire because again, this is my purpose. This is what I should do.
Hell yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you that there isn't days that I'm going to shut this computer and I'm going to like need to just be silent and go for a walk because I've given and given and given that I have to recharge. So I have morning quiet times. I'm a very extroverted person, but I recharge introvertedly.
Solitude.
So I'll go for a walk. I get outside. I have pure silence 90% of the time, whether I'm in my car, at my house or whatever. I'm not really anything maybe besides like worship music that kind of pumps me up in the morning. I listen to a podcast here and there. I'm very particular about who I actually speak to when I'm not speaking to clients, because again, I want to keep my boundaries.
It's your orb.
My orb. Yeah. Like my circle is not that big, and I choose that to be.
You know, we're the same way.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, when you're growing up and you're like, oh, you want all these friends, and now I'm like, oh my God.
Get away.
I'm like, get away. You're not allowed in my circle. But yeah, like I exercise, I have quiet time, prayer, I love to travel. I love sports. I don't know. That's about it. I'm very boring kind of, but I have a pretty damn good life.
Not at all. I don't find you boring at all.
No, not even a little bit. What do you say to clients of yours who have a hard time taking time for themselves? A lot of us are just so, I'm going to give to everybody, but they don't know how to recharge their own cup, or they feel guilty when they do. What do you say to them? I'm the same way. So I'd love to know what your input is on that.
Really? Y'all are like, do either of you have children?
No. I have a dog. He has four legs. He's kind of abnormal child. But yeah, some days I'm just like, screw it. But other days I'm like, try and pretend, like, get away from me, guilt, get away.
Really? That's so funny. Okay. So I personally believe that like moms suffer with this a lot because they give, and they forget that they have to like create the space for themselves. Mm-hmm. I would just make sure that you guys are doing whatever it is that you need to do to feel your best in the mornings. Mornings are just so important. I believe the most successful people have a really solid morning. Like whether your morning starts at 4 or starts at 8, it's just a really solid morning routine, because then you show up as the best for the day. Right. And you know, I use the analogy, I didn't create it, but like the analogy of like when you're on the airplane and the air mask comes down, if you like are the first person to put on everyone else's mask, you're going to die before you take your own air in. So you have to put your mask on before you can show up for everyone else. And I just know that enough about myself to know that like, if I'm a piece of shit, well then I'm going to be a piece of shit to everyone else. Right?
Everyone gets a little piece of that shit.
Yeah, like I want to be like so filled up that I can dump all day long, and then I want to recharge again. Like, that sounds bad, but like, I want to be so full.
I love it.
That I can make it till 6:30. Like, you know what I mean? I got up at 4:30 this morning. It's 6:30 at night. Like, I've got to make sure that like the first 2 hours of my day, which were really quiet, like my husband and I have an amazing marriage. I'm super thankful for it. It always hasn't been amazing. Mm. We worked our freaking butts off for it. But like, he knows, like we say two words to each other in the morning because that's our quiet time. Like, you know, when we're away, like we're here, this is not our house, but we're here for the week, and we'll go for a walk and it's just pure quiet. Like we'll just walk in silence. Like just listening to the birds. We'll have a small conversation about halfway through the walk, but even that, I wake up before him because I want to have my coffee. I want to do my routine. I want to do my gratitude to where when he does wake up, I'm in a better spot. Mm. So just being really selfish.
It's so freaking important.
For selfless reasons.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was a quote when I was in college, like back in my day, like so long ago. But a quote that like stuck out to me that was like, oh my God, I've been looking for you my entire life, was like, be selfish now so that you can be selfless later. And I don't know when that ends. Like, when does that actually end? Because I feel like that has to, like, you have to almost, like, it's a yin and yang every single micro moment of the day. Like, you have to have a degree of selfishness so that you can also be, like you're saying, like, dumping on everyone, like, during the day be selfless. And, I was literally just talking to Alan, my boyfriend, last night about the whole mask situation, because B knows I am someone that just like ridiculously like overloads my plate. And I'm known as the busy woman, like in anyone in my orb. Like, how, Amelia, how the hell with the little sleep that you get, are you able to achieve what you're able to achieve? And I look back and I'm like, I don't know, but I'm not regretting any of it. But the thing is, like, I've realized I've gotten to a point in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm so service driven that it's literally going to dig me into my grave, to the extent that I'm like, now I need to start cutting back and being okay, not having guilt, because like, I'm refilling my cup. Because exactly like you said, if you can't put your mask on, you can't help anyone else. If you can't help yourself, you are literally helpless to the entire world. And like, my goal, my mission is to really create like a beautiful ripple effect, like picture dropping a stone into an ocean or whatever, a pond, and like seeing those ripples effect. And like, if I can't be the person dropping that stone in, then it's not going to happen. So that really resonated with me when you said that, because when I heard from the podcast that you had done with Alan and Kevin on the Hyperconscious podcast, you talking about being, what was it, a human connection specialist?
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. And that resonated so deeply with me because like I kind of like termed that up myself too. So
girls steal it.
No. It's literally like I see you, because it really is creating, I don't want to say something from nothing, because there's always something in something. But I had worked in real estate. Your husband's a developer, so I know that industry. And oftentimes, you know, I would really find myself creating something out of something and being like, where the hell am I going with this? But you, Christina, like you were able to raise a ridiculous amount of money on the golf course, right? Yeah. Like creating, I don't want to say something out of nothing, because I don't really know exactly like what charities you were raising for, but like, what was that like? I'm so curious, because that's like why power. There had to be why power behind it, aside from like the external validation. What was that experience like?
Yeah. So for the listeners who don't know, so I played professional golf for 3 or 4 years. And then from that, I transitioned to companies hired me to play golf with executives, or charities hired me to play golf and raise money on the golf course. And the reason why I had a ton of success, where very few people have ever done what I've been able to do without big name status. Like I was never a big name when I played golf. Like I never even had full status on the tour. So I wasn't like an Annika or a Natalie or like the people who play golf that were big.
Right.
But I was able to make such a wave in, you know, I raised over $1 million on the golf course.
Wow. And
the reason why I'm able to do that, for me, it was always about the connection with the client. And that's why I'm really good at, like, I call myself a human connection specialist, even with my clients, because it's so easy and most people don't understand, but like, I'm really great at sales because I actually give a shit. Like, I know it's random. Like, I know people I literally cared about every single person that came up on that tee. So I got 5 minutes. We did this thing called the Beat the Pro contest. People come up, I gave them the spiel about the charity. You know, we hit a shot. If they beat me, they donated it to the charity, blah, blah, blah. Or I beat them, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The way I did it is irrelevant, but the way in which I showed up was I made a connection with each person. Most people that are coming to these events, they don't even really like golf. Like I was able to kind of like create a human connection, and we are all human beings doing a human thing. And when I made that connection and I was able to tie it to a charity, I came up with a spiel each time where I connected a human characteristic with the charity. And then the fun part about beating me, and guys were competitive, and I'm not an idiot. Like I look pretty good in a skirt, like, and I was good at what I did. Like, you know, it was a combination of all of it. But really at the end of the day, I just got to show up and be myself and connect with another human being, thus the connection to the charity, and we were able to raise funds. So it's simple, and yet, I mean, if it was that simple, everyone would do it.
True. Right. True. There was sorry, Bea, were you just gonna I was gonna ask about beauty and success specifically. Yeah. You're a beautiful woman. It doesn't take like anyone who's watching, when you watch, even your voice is beautiful. And so I share what you had said to the guys with respects to like how challenging that can be. Like when people don't even dig further than the beauty, you have brains, you are intelligent, you're strategic, you know, like there's so much underneath that. And there are people that do struggle, you know, not a lot of people like to talk about the beautiful people in the world because a lot of people hate them because, you know, it's just not something that they're born with. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. What I truly wanted to get at more was like your experience in a male dominated industry. Golfing is more male dominated.
Yeah.
How was that experience dealing with your beauty? And like you said, like two things happened to you at 18, which is like for anyone else, they wish they could stroke the check and have that happen to them. Right. But there are downsides with that, right? Like it's not easy being beautiful. So with respects to building your success, has there been people along the way that's been like, oh, it's just because she's beautiful? And how does that sit here?
Oh, for sure. You know what? Along the way, like, I don't blame them. There was a lot of people that had a ton of success. Like, there's always going to be people more attractive than you and less attractive than you, smarter than you, better than you, all of the things. Mm-hmm. For such a long time. Oh my God. That's why I hated myself for such a long time, because I never felt like I was good enough, skinny right. enough, pretty enough, all the things, right? I was never enough. If I could lose one more pound, then I get the job. Or should I get the right. boobs? Not get the boobs, which I never got the boobs. But all of that. But who knows? Maybe I should have. But along the way, you know, that kind of like that whole analogy of like, that will only get you so far. I remember that
yeah.
music song. I forget what it is, but it's basically like they thought that she made it because of just her looks. Do I not think that my looks got me some? Absolutely. I am not a moron. I didn't show up in a muumuu and like not milk it. Like, I 100% get that. Like, if I showed up in sweatpants and a sweatshirt, it probably wouldn't go that well. You know, like, I totally get that. But I like, I'm not a moron. But right. at the same time too, one of the things that I am absolutely, like, again, going back to that small, still voice, one of the things I'm most proud of in my career is that I've always trusted myself. There's been very few times that I've ever done something out of integrity. And the minute I did it, I like was totally like, I was the first person to be like, oh, that's fucking ridiculous. But I'd never slept my way to the top. I have never, you know, got the boobs when I was told that I needed to do it in order to get the next television show. Mm. I have never, you know, not even thought about cheating on my spouse. Like, there's been nothing like that. So I've always kept my integrity, but I think, you know, my looks only get me so far. I think, and the reason why I know that to be true is I have brought a ton of women with me to events, and I've had other women do events where, you know, they're one and done. They may be better. They may be better looking, but right. I called it something called the trifecta, and it's hard to find the trifecta all the time, which I, you know, it's looks, it was talent, and it was communication. You can have one, but if you had the three, you were going to do really well, because people initially, if they didn't know me, they probably hired me because I look a certain way and because I had a talent. But I kept them hiring me for 10 years straight because I made a human connection, because I gave a shit, because I followed up, because I was the first person to call them when I knew they're sporting. Like, I went so far with like even my best clients to this day will still call me because they know that they can bring me out to play golf with other clients and make that connection. You know, like, if I know their sporting team is playing, you know, next weekend, I'll send them a text message. If I see their truck for their company riding down the road, I'll send them a message. Like, it's the human connection. Right. And so, yes, I definitely played up the good looking. And yes, a long time in my life, I based my worth on how I looked. But the minute that, you know, you can only get so skinny and you can only get so pretty, and then you're going, oh, fuck, maybe this isn't it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit, maybe this isn't it. And it's not it. Like, I am a freaking shining star for not being it. Like, I got pretty thin, and I had, you know, I had an Adidas contract where I was doing modeling for them and all the things. I had television shows. And trust me, that quick hit of adrenaline or quick hit of like add a girl, it only lasts until you need the next one. I had to get comfortable being like, okay, I'm me. If they love me, awesome. If they don't, well, then I guess I love me, so I guess it's enough. And that's hard. It really is. But at the same time too, the minute that starts clicking and you start basing your worth on who you are, not what you do and how you look and how much money you make and who you're surrounded by, I mean, life gets so much better.
Mm-hmm. So many people need to hear that.
Yeah. When you were first getting started, so with doing what you do, you have to have a certain level of confidence, like, to be that human connection agent, to be able to do, you know, all of the things that you do. You have to have a growth mindset, and you have to have some level of confidence in yourself. You mentioned that, you know, when you first started golf, you did not have that at all. Like, it was all externally validated. What are a couple things that you did that you remember that made like the biggest impact to be able to help you like build that confidence and then eventually, you know, be able to do the things you're doing now?
100% confidence, in my opinion, 100% confidence is the willingness to keep showing up. End of story. Confidence is the willingness to keep showing up. So every time I'm doing something, I may not be confident in what I'm doing. The very, like you girls, the very first podcast that you ever did, I'm sure you're probably scared to death. The first, you know, big person that you had come on, you're probably nervous. You know, all of the things, you keep showing up.
Yeah.
You're going to screw up. It's not going to go well. You're going to run out of space. You're going to send the wrong link. You're going to do all the things and it's going to, one won't record and you're going to have to do it again. But it, confidence is built by the willingness to show up. So you don't quit. You just show up again. You learn from it and you show up again. My, one of my many secrets to confidence is that I literally do not have an end game. I'm in this for however long. I use the analogy. I used to be on the Stairmaster for, you know, 15 years of my life and I never got to the top and it's just doing my business. You know, the old man who walked around the track. Did you get to the top today? Nope, not yet.
You're going to say that joke again?
They are, that. But you know what? I use it in my, I use it in all my speeches now. I'm like, thank God that they did that. But
right.
Yeah, I talk about that all the time. It's like, if you're not going to quit and there's no like until when, you're going to get confident. You're going to win and lose and you're going to like fall on your face and then you're going to learn from it and you're going to keep going. Like confidence is the willingness to show up. And the more hard things, you know, this is something I say all the time. We do hard things. My husband and I's analogy is we do hard things. And when you do hard things, you teach yourself that you can continue to do hard things. And confidence is built by the willingness to show up and doing hard things.
I love that. To begin to wrap this up, I'm going to give you one question from me that I think I'll be finished on, although there's so much that I want to pick your brain on. One question that I love hearing everyone's different answers on, because time is so precious. Like that is like so important to me. And something that you said, like right off the bat, you're like, it's time so important. So we want to make sure that we're protecting your time, our time, everything. So with respects to, if you could just like imagine, close your eyes for a second and imagine that right after the show, there something awful happened and you took your last breath. I know that sounds morbid, but at the end of the day, we all will go through that experience. What is one thing, if you knew that that was coming, that you would say to all of our listeners who need to hear what you uniquely are put on this earth to hear if this was your last breath?
You have a purpose and you're worthy to do it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, 100%. Like if every human on this planet was living their purpose and felt so worthy to do it, I'd be unemployed.
Thank you. I love that. You're welcome. Oh, so many people need to hear that.
Yeah. That kind of goes into my last question. So I'm just going to say it anyways. If you could go back right now with everything that you know, with all the things that you've accomplished, with the belief that you have, the success, you know, the beautiful relationship you have with your husband, if you can go back and talk to that 18-year-old scared version of yourself with everything that you know now, knowing where she was, her mindset, her beliefs, what she believed she was capable of, what are the things you would tell her?
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for the way I treated you. I'm so sorry for how mean I was to you. I'm so like, oh, that's such a good question because it tears me up. I'm so sorry for the pain that I put you through. I'm so sorry for all the pain that you've been through that you didn't even cause. I'm sorry for the way that you think, like just all the sorries. And then I would tell her like, oh my God, you are going to do so good. You are going to have such a great life and you can just like have fun and not worry. And like, I actually try to remind myself that of that now, on the daily is that it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. this is all happening for you. And I truly believe it to my core being. Like, I have said some things before that most people would never believe. Like, as much as I love my husband and as much as, like, I love my life, I also know that, like, you can take it all away. And I just know, like, this weird fucked up feeling deep inside me that I'm going to be okay. Yeah. And, like, it's hard and it's not easy and it won't be easy, but, like, I truly know that it's going to be okay.
Mm.
Oh, my heart is, like, racing hearing you say that. I, like,
it's going to be okay. You're exactly where you need to be.
Mm.
So many people need to hear that. So many people just, like, it's okay. Like, you're fine. It's going to get better. Like,
yeah.
With everything that's going on in the world right now, all of the craziness and the corruption and the misery, you know, I feel like we just need that positive light. You know, we need people like you who are inspiring others and helping others and just really being that light at the end of the tunnel. So I know me and Amelia, we just want to say thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And where can our listeners, you know, find you? How can they reach out to you, help you in your mission and everything you're doing?
Yeah, perfect. Instagram all day, every day. That's really the only place I hang out. My team will message me when I get Facebook, and I every once in a while I'll jump on Twitter for sports, but pretty much just Instagram at @BECHRISTINA. And the reason why it's be Bianca, be Amelia, be you. Be yourself. Show up as you. You have a purpose to be you.
Mm, I love that. I was going to ask why. Why is your handle that way?
Be Christina. Because it used to be Golf Christina when I believed my worth. That was one of the hardest days ever. Changing my handle from Golf Christina to Be Christina, because every single day I felt like I was only worthy if I was Golf Christina or looked away Christina or, you know, showed up a certain way Christina. The day that I was Be Christina, it's all good. I can play golf. I can talk. I can lay on my couch. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm just being Christina.
Oh, you are a blessing to this world for sure.
Thank you. Oh my God. You guys are awesome.
We will make sure that we have all of your links in the show notes, of course, so that everyone can get directly to you. And we're hoping that we can send people your way with all the workshops that you're doing and coaching, because clearly, like, you get in your orb, you're going to flower and bloom. Like, what do you also do coaching at all for men, just by the way?
Oh yeah, I do. I don't talk about it a ton, but yeah, like I work with a ton of successful, very, very successful men. And because I think that, you know, men live in this very, like, especially successful men,
yeah,
you know, they have this, you know, they kind of suffer with the same
box.
Thing.
Yeah,
they do. And yeah. They suffer with, like, probably the worst, because we as girls at least talk about it. Guys are like, everything's fine. What do you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, I'm fucking 300 pounds. My wife's left me. I've cheated on this person. My kids hate me, but I make $2-5 million a year. What do you mean? Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Boom. Like, okay, that next million will make you happy.
Right.
Otherwise, not the way it works. But.
Good. Oh, well, I just asked that because I know we do have a good amount of male listeners too. So I want to make sure that your light can be spread with everyone.
I do.
I love that. Well, in the interest of time, I think this has been, like, the most, like, timely protected that we've done. And so I just want to, like, give a little shake here and there and, like, say thank you so much for your time. It is the most precious thing that you have in this world. And it's the most precious thing that we have. And it's truly an honor, like Bianca said, to be able to exchange that worth and that value. And I'm so excited to put this out there for people to hear, because we need to, like, just illuminate all of this that you're giving to the world.
Yay. Thank you, girls. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for thinking of me and sharing me. And you guys are awesome. And the why, like, hello, of course you're going to be successful. The why power. Duh.
It's thank you so here. Much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, Christina.
Bye.
So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. Like we said at the beginning, this was definitely one that was super important to listen to, because hopefully as we felt you're walking away, or rather scrolling away from this episode with, like, a lighter sense of feeling and just so much more empowered to really harness your mindset to really fuel yourself with that why power. Bianca, the next episode we're excited about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a topic that Amelia and I, this is actually a topic that we bonded over. This is how she and I became friends in the first place and why the Why Power podcast is even a thing. So Amelia, let them know. What are we talking about?
That's so true. Oh my God. What a flash from the past. So we are going to be talking about how to uncover your yin and yang. This is a really interesting topic. Yes, there's science behind it. Yes, there's all that woo-woo stuff that some people are talking about that's ooey gooey in nature, but honestly, there is science behind it. And there is a lot of why power behind it, folks. So we're so excited to bring you this topic. Stay tuned for next week. This is definitely something that's going to fuel your why power, help you understand yourself, which God knows we all want more of. And we're just so grateful that you were able to join us in this episode. So we'll see you next week and have an awesome week.
We love you guys. Bye.
If this episode resonated with you or you gained value from it, please leave us a 5-star review so that we can encourage more people like you to discover their own why power. It's more important now than ever that people have their why power. So please stay connected and text YPOWER to 31996 right now to become an exclusive member of our Wiser community. We're so excited to connect with you and to have you along the journey.
Remember to follow us on Instagram or Facebook at The Why Power Podcast. Visit us at thewhypowerpodcast.com and to chat with us directly on Instagram at Amelia May or Bianca Alexa. This content is intended for information purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional counseling or psychotherapy, medical advice, diagnoses, or treatment, and does not constitute medical or other professional advice. Names and identifiable personal details mentioned in respective podcast episodes and stories may have been changed to protect personal privacy and identity.